This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
قدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to a juz a day. Today we have the 23rd juz with us. I can hear from, or I can see from, Sister Shamim has mentioned that you all can hear me, which is great. Barakallahu fikum. Somebody online on the Facebook feed can also mention if they can hear me or not. That will be truly appreciated. Jazakumullah khairan. The 23rd juz that we have today with us is the juz of the Quran that... thank you, Brother Imran. The juz of the Quran that has Surah number 36, Surah Yasin. It has Surah As-Saffat, Surah 37, Surah Sad, Surah 38, and Surah Az-Zumr, Surah number 39. It's now, as you can see, the juz have more and more and more surahs, and this will continue to be the case until we finish our study of the Quran, inshallah ta'ala. One thing that is to note here is that we will be, in the 24th juz, we will actually embark upon a series of surahs that all have a similar opening. In fact, they have the same opening, Hameem. So when we get there, inshallah, you will see, like we will kind of start to lump them together to talk about them as like a collection. But today we will still analyze and study the surahs individually, inshallah ta'ala. Surah Yasin is the surah that is the first surah that we'll start with today. It begins with the two letters Yasin, which are just disjointed letters. As we mentioned before about disjointed letters, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the majesty of the Quran and referring to the majesty of the Quran by referring to the letters that make up the Quran. And the same letters make up the language that the people speak. So it is a challenge for them that here is the book that Allah has produced using the letters that you all know and understand. So subhanAllah, this is Yasin, how it begins. Its theme is a theme of a person should be optimistic, especially the one who is calling people to Islam, who is doing da'wah, the job of the Prophet ﷺ, and by extension, all of our jobs, is to invite people to Islam, but do so in a manner that is optimistic, even when there is a lot of opposition, even if there is no results. The point should not be, or the lack of results, for example, should not deter us, neither should it make us give up. We should actually be optimistic and invite people to Islam and share what is good with them, irrespective of what change takes place or not. In reality, we can't really change anything. You know, the whole idea of changing the world, we actually can't do that. But we can change one person's world, perhaps, by sharing something good with them. And that good will actually change their lives and their worlds. And that could be also that if that is the case for them, then they're family and their extended, like their progeny afterwards, all get transformed. It all starts with one individual, and that is the optimism that Surah Yasin wants us to have. How does it start? Surah Yasin starts with Yasin wal Quran il Hakim. Yasin, and I swear by Al Quran il Hakim, the wise Quran. I'm having some problem with my thing here. There we go. By the wise Quran, full of wisdom. Innaka lamina al-mursaleen. Indeed, you are one of the messengers. Ala siratin mustaqim, on a straight path. Tanzeel al-aziz al-rahim, with the revelation sent down by the mighty, the merciful. Litunzira qawman ma unzira aba'uhum fahum ghafilun, so that you may warn a people whose forefathers were not warned before, and thus they are unaware. So this is the introduction that Allah provides to the surah, that Allah is the one who's sending the book, and the book is full of wisdom, and the one who's sending it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is mighty and merciful. Okay, So he has, this is the perfection. Being just mighty could make somebody like tyrannical. Being just merciful could make somebody weak. But the combination of the two represents perfection. And that is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And he says to the, this is actually something he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it doesn't matter what happens, you always have Allah on your side, who is Al-Aziz Al-Rahim, and you will always have the revelation of the Quran, which is Al-Hakim, full of wisdom. So don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever let the difficulties make you pessimistic. Always be optimistic. And this is a consistent theme of the Quran, by the way. But this surah, I feel, highlights it a little bit more. And this is actually how the Prophet ﷺ lived his life. He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had quite a lot of difficulties that he faced as he was going through and conveying the message. Difficulties of a community level, on a community level, difficulties on a governance level, difficulties on a personal level. Yet we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described as ma ra'aytu ahadan akthara tabassuman min rasulillah. Like Anas says, I have never seen anybody smile more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is how we are taught, we smile in the face of difficult times. Difficult times should not make us pessimistic. We remain optimistic because we are the ones who have the book which is full of wisdom, Al-Hakim. We have our Lord who is Al-Aziz Al-Rahim, the mighty, the merciful, and what else would a person need? So that is the introduction to the surah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your job is to invite the people. Your job is to call them. لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا, right? But most of them will not believe a prophet. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى أَكْثَرِهِمْ. And this is referring specifically to the people of Makkah. Not all people, because people of Medina, majority of them did accept Islam. But this is a surah that was revealed in Makkah and is talking about the people of Makkah at that point, particularly those who were leaders. And this is an important point. The Quran has to be understood with the background that it was revealed in. The Quran does not reveal its background. It assumes that you will know it or you will find out about it. So to detach it from its background will actually make it seem out of place. And here, the background here is the people of Makkah, the early Meccans. They were the ones who majority of them did not believe. فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says actually, they have made up their minds not to believe. But there's always a reason to be optimistic, O Prophet. These people who made up their minds, Allah says, if they made up their minds, you know what? Allah will also, basically make it so that they will not believe. We have put yokes around their necks, right up to their chins, so that they cannot bow their heads. This is a metaphor or describing what the arrogance that they have right now. It also describes how Allah has barred them from understanding the religion because they have made up their mind to reject the Prophet. So it's like this is Allah's retribution on them. And this is also perhaps a scene from the Day of Judgment. Okay. However, Allah says, you should always have a reason to be optimistic, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is someone who will take heed. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرِ وَخَشْيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ. You can only warn those who follow the reminder and fear Ar-Rahman, the gracious God in the unseen. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Give them news, the good news of forgiveness and a noble reward. So this is the idea. You will do something, you will invite people, but you may not get the results. The lack of results should not make you pessimistic. You should remain optimistic because there's somebody who might take heed. There's someone whose life you might touch. The next part here is the example of the three anonymous prophets that are mentioned here in Surah Yasin. Three anonymous prophets that are not mentioned by name. Allah says about them, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. I don't know what's happening with my internet today, but خلاص, inshallah, we'll try our best. Recount to them the example of the people to whose town our messengers came. Okay, they were two. أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ. We sent two messengers. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا. They were both rejected. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. We strengthened them with a third. And all of them said, we are messengers of God. The people said, well, you are just humans. How can you be messengers of God? And in reality, there's no such thing as revelation in the first place. You are lying. You're making this up. They said, well, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. Our Lord knows that we have been sent to you, and our job is to convey the message to you clearly. Okay. Again, this is the idea of, this is the most stubborn type of opposition that a person could face. Someone who's already made up their mind before you even speak to them. And unfortunately, you know, you get to see people like that on the internet quite a bit, especially if you interact with them on like social media or like YouTube comments or Twitter comments. People's minds are already made up. It doesn't matter what you want to tell them. They are like closed vessels. Okay. So at that point, you just say like, our job is to convey the message. You want to read this article, read it. You want to listen to it, listen to it. You don't want to do it, that's your prerogative. So they said, you know what? Our job is to convey the message to you clearly. They started blaming their prophets. They're like, hey, because of you, all this evil stuff is happening to us. And if you don't stop, you know, this causation of evil is because of you. We are going to kill you. They said, well, your evil is with you. You know, this, don't associate, keep this association to yourself, you know, but antum qawmun musrifun, you are people who are stepping over all types of boundaries. Now, subhanAllah, even if there are people who disbelieved, most were extremely, not just disbelief, but most of them were extremely, had a lot of animosity towards their prophets, threatening them to kill them physically, yet the prophets are optimistic because there is somebody who will believe, and there is that person. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. From the furthest part of the city, a man came running. He said, my people follow the messengers. Perhaps the idea of أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ is that this is somebody who maybe wasn't expected, right? From an unexpected place, a person believed. And that's the idea of being optimistic, that you don't know where the good will come. You don't know whose heart is touched from the unexpected. So keep on doing what you have to do. Keep on, inviting towards good, and leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى. He said, my people, follow the messengers. Follow the ones who, look, they're messengers. They don't want any money from you. لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. They're not here to get rich or take your wealth. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They're actually rightly guided. Look at how they are, their manners, the way they speak. All of these things tell you this is a rightly guided person. He is. And then the logic of Tawheed. مَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Why should I not worship the one who has brought me into being? وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And he will then bring me back to life, and all of us will be brought back to life and held accountable. فَطَرَنِي is to bring something into existence from scratch, from nothing. So why Allah is worthy of worship? Because he is the one who brought us into existence from nothing. And other deities and idols, لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. They can't deliver me. They can't help me in any way. So this is a beautiful understanding of Tawheed, of Risalah, of the oneness of Allah and worshipping Allah alone, of understanding the idea of prophethood. Very, very clear thoughts of this person. And his end was, قِيلَ دْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. It was said to him, enter paradise. Now, some scholars of Tafsir say that he was probably like murdered because of what he said. And that's not like far-fetched to believe. But either way, whether he was murdered or not, or whether he just lived a natural life and died a natural death, when he died, it was said to him, enter paradise. And when he did so, he said, I wish, يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ, my people would knew how amazing is my Lord's forgiveness and how he has honored me. Okay, so that was the one who believed, and that was his reward. Again, the idea being, be optimistic, don't be pessimistic in the face of difficulties, and keep on doing what you have to do. Now Allah then turns and kind of pivots to the idea of, you know, it's time to take heed. It's time to take things seriously. Don't think it's just another day and another day, and just, you know, things are the way they are. Now it's time to get serious, because you know, life and death is a reason to take heed. Contemplating about the nature of life and death should be a reason to be serious and to take heed. So he says in ayah number 31, for example, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Have they not seen how many generations we have destroyed before them? Never shall they return to them. And all of them gathered together will certainly be brought to before us. How many people have lived and died, and they're gone, right? لا يرجعون. We have no idea of who they were. They have, there's nothing that connects you to them. They are, you know, lost to history. But all of them will be brought back to the day, on the day of judgment, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idea is, you know, this is a world where your mention is very, very small, very tiny, and many people's mentions are just wiped away, confined to history, even not even written history. They're just, you know, people who are not even mentioned by name. They are gone. And that should be a reason for us to ponder, what is the reality of this life? What am I doing right now? And that is a reason to take heed and to try to change our attitude. Allah gives an example of how everything is heading towards like an end, resurrection after that, death. And this is going to be an interesting theme in the next few ayat. Life and death, resurrection after death. Allah is going to contrast that. Everything is going towards death and then resurrection. Example is the earth. Ayatul lahumul ardul mayta. There is a sign for them in the lifeless earth. We revive it. We produce grain from it, from which they eat. Okay, the earth is lifeless. Allah brings it back to life and makes it a source of life. Produce grain from it that people consume. Subhanallah. Night after day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how ayatun lahumul layl. There is a sign for them in night. We withdraw from it the light of day, and they are left in darkness. And this is how, this is maybe a metaphor as well, that it is nice and bright right now. You know, you are in the, you know, in these good moments in your life, everything is hunky-dory. But just as the day, the light of the day dissipates and it becomes night, and all of a sudden it's just dark, soon that can happen to you as well. Whether that's difficulties, whether that's the end of a person's life, maybe end a person's life so too soon, they didn't realize it. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ. Wake up before it's too late. Even the sun and the moon, Allah gives an example how the وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. The sun follows its determined course, meaning the sun is moving in a particular direction, and we know that to be true. And also the sun is moving towards a point where it will cease to exist. مُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. And that is the idea, life or creation and resurrection together. The moon, قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلُ. We have ordained the phases. حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. Until it becomes like an old date stock. Basically, like it's like the shape of a crescent. Very, very thin. And, you know, it's kind of like curved like a crescent. That's what the old date stock is like. عُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. So the idea being here is, it's like something is flourishing and blooming, and then all of a sudden it dissipates. The day is bright and all of a sudden it loses its brightness and it's dark. All things, as bright as it may be, the sun, everything is going towards an end. So pay attention, take heed, your end might be near and your resurrection is close by. So this is a beautiful message to get us focused on what we have to take care of in this life so we can prepare for the next. Some scenes from the day of resurrection Allah brings on ayah number 51. And he says, my computer is a little slow loading today. I don't know what's happening. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. The trumpet will be blown. This is the sign of the day of judgment. The angel Israfil is going to be the one who blows the trumpet. And this is a a real thing. This is not a metaphor. And the sound of this trumpet, we don't know, of course, but it is going to, it's called a sur in the Quran, the trumpet. And it's going to be a real incident. When it happens, it marks, firstly, the death of everybody. The second time it's blown, it marks the resurrection of everybody. فَإِذَا هُمْ, so this is referring to actually the second instance of the trumpet being blown. فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ, they will rise up from their graves and hasten to their Lord. Now this is the day of judgment. Everybody is rising up and rushing towards, to make sense of this, going towards Allah to hoping for His mercy on this day. But then, قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا, woe to us, right? Woe to us. Not like woe, but woe as a W-O-E. Woe to us. مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَلْقَدِنَا, who has aroused us from our sleep? This is what the Lord of Mercy has promised, and the messengers have spoken truth. That at this point will be too late. That belief at this point, the shahada, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, at that point is too late, man. But what's interesting is they say, ya waylana, wail. Wail is a expression of regret. We saw that in surah number 25, the person who was brought back to life, and then he's biting at his hands out of regret. He says, ya waylana, he says, يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي. That word wail is to show intense regret and intense pain. So that is the feeling the Quran describes the people on the Day of Judgment who did not believe will have. Intense regret, intense pain. There's nothing worse, I would think, or I would put forward. There's nothing worse than the pain of regret. And that is what these people will be feeling the most. SubhanAllah. That and more scenes. In كَانَ دَلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا, it will be but one blast, and they will all be brought before us together. And on this day, Allah says, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا, no person, no soul will suffer the least amount of injustice. No one will be harmed, or no one will be shortchanged in the least. It will be the most perfect justice that will be served between animals and humans. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, and the reward, the payment, the payback that you will receive will be only for what you have done. So be conscious of the choices you make, because they have consequences. That's the point of this example and this ayah. Ayah number 55, Allah says, he contrasts that with the people of paradise. Inna ashab al jannat al yawma fi shughulin faakihun. We ask Allah to make us of those. And this is the style of the Quran when the people of hellfire are mentioned, right next to it, the people of paradise are mentioned, and vice versa. Inna ashab al jannah, the people of paradise, shall be happily occupied on that day. They would be in a happy occupation, finding things to do that will make them pleased. Humma azwajuhum, them and their spouses. Azwaj, he's translated as wives here. In fact, the correct translation is spouses. Will be fi dhilalin ala al-ara'iki muttaki'un, shall recline on couches in the shade. This is going to be like a relaxing atmosphere. Lahum fiha fakiha wa lahum ma yad'un, they shall have fruits therein and all that they can ask for. Walahum ma yad'un, fakiha is fruit, but also something that's enjoyable. So anything that is enjoyable they will have, and anything they will desire, yad'un, they will get. But most amazingly, salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim, the most amazing thing would be this, the greeting of peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The viewing of Allah in the day of judgment and in paradise. That would be the most amazing blessing of Jannah. We ask Allah to make us of these people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Sister Hira online asks on the Facebook feed that from our sleep, this is about the torment of the grave. So marqad there is, it's not to refer to someone being comfortable. The idea is that they were woken up from their slumber. Like just like a person wakes up suddenly and they're like, what happened here? That's the suddenness is what Allah is referring to when he says, مَنْ بَعَثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Okay? Now, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah concludes something here, because the Prophet ﷺ, if you, as in the beginning of the surah, the Prophet ﷺ was being criticized by the people of Quraysh, and the prophets, as evidenced in the story of the three anonymous prophets, they were mocked. So Allah now circles back to address some important points about who the Prophet ﷺ is. He's not a poet, number one. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرِ. We have not taught him any poetry. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. Nor would it be fitting for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not appropriate for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, it's not something he did previously, and it wouldn't suit him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is a prophet of Allah, he is a messenger of Allah, he's not an entertainer. Okay, poetry is the vocation of those who try to entertain, even education, you know, in education, you know, like a lot of the Islamic texts, and you know, back in the day especially, teaching methodology was done, a lot of it was done through poetry to make it lively and not so drab, and that's fine, that's appropriate. But the Prophet's job is, he is a messenger, not an entertainer. وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. This is merely a reminder and a clear Qur'an. It also, by the way, clarifies how the Qur'an isn't necessarily poetry. In fact, anybody who's studied even basic Arabic poetry would know that there is a marked difference in how Arabic poetry is and how the Qur'an is. Like, stylistically, there are two completely separate categories. And if someone starts to, you know, assume that just because the Quran has rhyming endings, that somehow is like it's only a miracle, that's a it's a person who is deluding themselves and being very foolish. So this is who the Prophet is. He's not a poet. He is the one who warns, and he warns those liyundhira man kana hayyan, the one who is alive. What does that mean? Not alive in body, because everybody who's hearing this message is alive in body, and everybody who heard the Prophet was alive in their body, but the one whose soul is alive. Their heart is alive. وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And the one whose soul is dead, like in the sense of like their heart, their spiritual heart is dead, couldn't care less about the salvation. Then this is, the Prophet is actually establishing evidence, providing exhibit after exhibit to be provided on the Day of Judgment that will convict that person. SubhanAllah. So this is the idea. وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ was extremely saddened by people's stubbornness. The Prophet ﷺ, was a gentle human being, and he was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody who wanted good for every person. So when people were stubborn to their own detriment, it would make him sad, and Allah says to him, consoling him, فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. Let not their words grieve you, O Prophet. We have knowledge of all that they say, and all that they conceal, and all that they reveal. فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. The Prophet ﷺ was challenged. A man by the name of Ubay ibn Khalaf, also it is narrated, Al-As ibn Wa'il said the same thing, came to the Prophet ﷺ with a bone that was about to crumble. Okay, and he brought this bone to the Prophet ﷺ, and he took the bone and like kind of crumbled it between his hands, and then showed the Prophet ﷺ this crumbled bone. He just like tossed it in the air like this, you know, and then he said, hey Muhammad, is this gonna be brought back to life? This bone that I just crushed and just tossed in the air like this, will it be brought back to life? So Allah responded to this particular incident with this ayah number 77, in which Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانِ. Does not man see that we created him from a drop, مِن نُطْفَ, a drop of sperm, فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. And now he is a grown individual, ready to be openly contentious, openly argumentative, and he says, ضَرَبَدَنَا مَثَلًا, producing arguments against us, and forgets about the nature of his own creation, forgetting how he was brought into life. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Who can give life back to the bones after they have rotted away. Who can do that, right? These are bones. It's now dust. It's particles that are scattered. They're gone everywhere. That's it. It's over. But Allah says, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً. Say, he who brought them into being in the first instance, in the first place, will give them life again. The one who made them in the first place will make them or remake them in the second instance as well. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he has knowledge of all types of creation. So this is a beautiful response that Allah gives. You know, if Allah can bring these into existence in the first place, and that's something, if a person agrees to that premise, then it only logically follows that Allah can bring that person back to life. And because he is the one who is powerful and he is the one who's knowledgeable. So this is the response that's given. Also is another response, the one who produces fire from you from green trees. And from this you kindle fire. Shajar al-akhdari nara. You know, a green tree has some moisture in it still, like the molecules, the water molecules are still there. But when you burn them, it turns to water, evaporates, and it becomes into fire. So you see like how something that was alive, Allah could use it to, it's used to kindle a fire. It's used to bring the idea of two opposites together in the same place. That's Allah's response to this as well. Like, this is not something that is so far-fetched. If two opposites can exist in the same place, like a green tree becoming lit by a fire, then it's not as far-fetched to say that Allah can bring back someone who He created into existence the second time. So that is the response. The Prophet ﷺ was challenged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the challenges the Prophet ﷺ faced through the ayat of Quran. The surah concludes very beautifully, but Allah saying, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. Is He who created the heavens and the earth not able? Is He not able to create others like these people? Meaning, Allah made this whole cosmos. You don't think He can create a few people? Of course He is capable of doing so. He is the supreme creator, Khallaqul Alim, the all-knowing supreme creator. His way of doing things, His magnificence, His dominance is such that when He decrees something, He says to it, Kun, be, fayakunu, and so it is. So all glory is for Allah. Subhanalladhi biyadihi malakutu kulli shay, in His hands, who has control over all things, and to Him you will be brought back to life. Right now you have control over things as well, but the ultimate control is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the Day of Judgment, you won't have any control. Every single thing will be by Allah's decree and Allah's word. So that was Surah Yasin, a very beautiful surah that again talks about how Prophet was taught to be optimistic by the Quran, and how we should be optimistic, and how we shouldn't become heedless. We should wake up to the reality of life and how death is near. That's a reason for us to take heed. And the day of resurrection is a real thing. Just like you see resurrection now, it is going to be a real thing then as well. Then the next surah is Surah As-Saffat. Surah As-Saffat, its name comes from root of it is from the root letter Sa Fa Fa, which is a row. And the name of the surah comes from the very first ayah, As-Saffati Saffa. What is the theme of Surah As-Saffat? What is the theme that we will focus on? The theme that we will focus on from this surah is as follows. Allah's threats will be fulfilled. This surah will show us example after example of how people said something, Allah responded. People made a mockery of something, Allah responded. And then He will speak about how the threats, the people who said something similar and lived something similar, how Allah executed His threats upon them. and thus the warning is served. So it's a nice surah that speaks about all of that. It is a very remarkably different surah in its flow. If you're reading the surah, you will notice its flow is very unique. It has many short ayat, very powerful ayat. وَالصَّافَّاتِ صَفَّةً فَالزَّاجِرَاتِ زَجِرًا فَالتَّالِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا إِنَّ إِلَهَكُمْ لَوَاحِدٌ. Very beautiful, very fast-paced ayat. And a change of pace here that is noticeable. By those angels who range themselves in close ranks, and the those who drive away the wicked with the reproof, and the reciters of the reminder, إِنَّ إِلَهَكُمْ لَوَاحِدٌ. Your God is one. This is an intro where Allah takes an oath, and this is the first time we're seeing Allah taking an oath here in our study of the Quran sequentially. A lot more will come later, but right now this is the first instance. And there is a connection, a correlation between what Allah takes an oath by and what the topics that he's discussing. He's taking an oath by the angels and the different roles that the angels perform. They are the ones who are arranged in rows. They are the ones who execute Allah's commands. You know, it is it says Zajirat is Tazjur as-Sahab. They drive, you know, they're in charge of the upkeep of the world, and they are part and parcel of that. You know, there's obviously a natural way, a natural phenomena, right, that drives the clouds, that, and the Quran references that in many places, right? What is he? Arsala riyaha fatuthiru sahaba. He is the one who ascends the winds, and the winds are what bring together the clouds. So that's the natural phenomena. But then there's also a spiritual being that's there with the clouds, and that's the angels. Zajirati zajira. They're the ones that are there with these clouds by Allah's command. And the idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation has a apparent, you know, natural phenomena that he is, that he speaks about, that we can observe. And then there is a spiritual essence to it as well, like the angels that take care of the universe. And this is a beautiful thing, because as you'll see, the people will admit what's natural and apparent, but then they will reject what is the unseen, the spiritual. And that is what the people will say here, the mockery of resurrection. بَلَ عَجِبْتَ وَيَسْخَرُونَ. You know, no wonder you are surprised, as they laugh with scorn. You know, وَإِذَا ذُكْ, you know, this is the attitude is so toxic. يَسْخَرُونَ, laughing, you know, scornfully. وَإِذَا ذُكِّرُوا لَا يَذْكُرُونَ, when they're reminded, they pay no heed. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا آيَةً يَسْتَسْخِرُونَ, when they see some sign, they ridicule it. And they say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. This is just like plain sorcery. This is magic. It's like a nice trick that you learned that you're trying to impress us with. Do you think that we will be brought back to life when we have become dust and bones? إِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا. That whole idea, like there's this apparent realization of something, and then there is the unseen, the spiritual dimension of it. And these people are completely rejecting that. Also our fathers, our forefathers, our grandfathers, great-grandfathers, all of us will be brought back to life. That is the mockery of resurrection that they're making. The response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, قُلْ نَعَمْ. Yes. Say to them, yes. You will be brought back to life, and your forefathers, and the bones that have rotted away, and that have become dust and spread all over the world, they will be brought back together into human form once again. And you will be brought low. وَأَنْتُمْ دَاخِرُونَ. You're going to be in trouble when that happens. That's what this ayah is saying. It's not going to be like a pleasant reunion. It's going to be, you're going to be in trouble. وَأَنْتُمْ دَاخِرُونَ. And how does that happen? فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. It will be a single blast. And then their eyes will open. They will say, woe to us. Again, يَا وَيْلَنَا. هَذَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. The same exact, the same exact description with a little difference. Right? The shock, that's the same. The intense regret, that's the same. Woe to us. وَيْلَنَا. Okay? But then, the response to that shock, or what's happening around, is a little different. What's different here compared to Surah Yasin? Well, here, instead of them saying something, they will be told, this is the day of judgment that you were denying. That's going to add to their intense. That's going to add to the intense regret that they have. And then they will be gathered. In fact, angels will be instructed. The angels who Allah took an oath by to begin the surah, they will be instructed. احشروا الذين ظلموا. Assemble those who did wrong together. وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ. And their associates. Here, azwaj does not mean spouses, by the way. Here, azwaj means, the people that you associated with. Because zawj in the Quran is used to mean like a pair of like a couple, like a husband and wife. It could also mean, food that comes trees and plants that grow in pairs. Okay? Like there is pollen. You can plant like a male tree and female tree, and then there's like pollen produced by, I believe, the male tree, and the female tree is pollinated. So that's referring to that. It also refers to somebody who works together, okay? Who are kind of like a couple in the way they think. And this is what it's referring to here, azwajahum, assemble those who did wrong, and all their associates, and all that they worship besides Allah, and lead them to the path of the fire. But before you take them there, stop them, because they will be interrogated. The regret and the pain is going to be intensified. The fear of entering will be intensified. And then they will be tossed in. As they will be interrogated, what's the matter? Why aren't you helping each other today? Before you were mocking, today you are surrendering. And before you were making laughing and having a good time, today you are going to be blaming each other, asking each other, and saying, you used to come to us from the right and from the left, hey, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. You're going to say that. And today, فَحَقَّ عَلَيْنَا قَوْلُ رَبِّنَا. It's all over. It's too late. إِنَّا لَذَائِقُونَ. We are bound to taste the punishment. There's a group of people on the Day of Judgment who are trying to blame others. And there's a group who've accepted their fate. But them accepting their fate isn't like it's not making their lives any easier. فَأَغْوَيْنَاكُمْ. We led you astray, and we were also astray ourselves. And Allah says, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ فِي الْعَذَابِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ. They will share the punishment. No one is going to feel that the punishment is lesser or anything. It's going to be as severe for everybody. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالْمُجْرِمِينَ. This is how Allah deals with the criminals. Mujrim, criminal. This is a person. That's how Allah describes those. They're convicted on the Day of Judgment in the court of Allah, and thus they are criminals. They got a due process though. They had due process. They were questioned. Their deeds were presented to them. And they were asked, this is not your deeds. Is this not your deeds? Aren't these your choices? And then they were convicted of the crimes that they had committed. And thus Allah calls them criminals. The mockery of the Prophet ﷺ. They would make a prophet of mockery of the Prophet ﷺ by saying, أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُ أَلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرِ مَجْنُونَ. Should we give up our deities at the bidding of a mad poet? He's crazy. He's just saying stuff that sounds cool. Sounds poetic, it sounds nice, but he's crazy. Should we give up our ways, our religion, our culture for someone like that? Allah responds, بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He has brought the truth. Don't worry about, what's the message? Look at the message, right? The message is the message of the truth. And he has brought the truth that the previous messengers had brought, confirming what they had. He is a messenger in the line of messengers. It's not a strange thing for a messenger to be like this. But then, of course, Allah shifts back to the scene on the Day of Judgment. You are surely going to take a taste of painful punishment. And that's because of what you have done. وَمَا تُجَزَوْنَا إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. It's because of the choices that you made, the consequences of that. That is what you're going to face today. We ask Allah for protection from such type of punishment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The believers are safe from this. Allah mentions ayah number 40. Except the chosen servants of Allah. They are the ones who have a known provision. They have, Allah will provide for them. Rizqum ma'loom. Sustenance, a provision, food and things that Allah provides for them that will be well known and well recognizable. Something that's ma'loom is comforting. It's not like strange. So it's like, it's familiar. Fawakih, all types of fruits, and they will be honored. Okay? Honored by what they eat, or what was presented to them, honored in the way they're treated in the gardens of bliss, on couches, facing one another. A beautiful scene, chilling in Jannah, relaxing, facing each other, chit-chatting, and as eating nice food, being honored, no a false word, no evil statements are uttered, no grief in hearts, no beef between people. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِكَأْسٍ مِّن مَعِينٍ. A drink will be passed around among them from a flowing spring. They'll be eating and drinking, enjoying themselves. This drink is bayda, white. لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Delicious for the one who is drinking it. لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ. Which is a type of an alcohol, but not the one that causes intoxication. It doesn't have the headiness or intoxication of alcohol. وَلَهُمْ عَنْهَا يُنْزَفُونَ. It won't have the negative effects. It will only be the good stuff. And it will be divine, drink that Allah will present to us. We ask Allah to make us of these people. They will also have beautiful spouses of modest gaze and of beautiful eye. قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ عَيْنٍ. Meaning, they're beautiful and they're modest. There's beauty that's on the outside and there's beauty on the inside. كَأَنَّهُنَّ بَيْضٌ مَكْنُونَ. قَاصِرَاتُ, by the way, someone who's restricting something. So their eyes are restricted only to their spouses. That's the idea. Like they only, their love and their affection is restricted only to their own spouse. That's a beautiful trait. كَأَنَّهُنَّ بَيْضٌ مَكْنُونَ. Like they are closely guarded pearls. That's how Allah describes the women of paradise, like they're pearls. That's a beautiful thing. Sisters sometimes complain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about hurul ayn and whatnot. What about us? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, as we'll see in Surah Ar-Rahman, the women of paradise, the believing women of paradise, in the most amazing, the most beautiful way. And they have all sorts of pleasure and luxury, but not an ounce of displeasure, not an ounce of regret, not an ounce of anger or sadness. So, don't get upset, inshallah. فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضِ يَتَسَأَلُونَ. Now here is a couple of friends talking in paradise. A very interesting conversation. What happens? They're like, hey, I had a friend in the world, إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَدِينَ, who used to say, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. Do you really believe in this religion stuff? Right? Like we're going to be brought back to life after we have turned into dust and bones. Like there's going to be another life after this life. There's going to be a soul that will be rejoined with our bodies. You know, this is all like stuff people say, man. There's no proof for that. قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. It will be said, do you guys want to see where this person is? فَطَّلَعَ. So they will look. فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. And he will see him, this person, his friend, he will see him in the middle of the fire. And he will say, تَاللَّهِ إِن كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ. You almost brought me to ruin. And if it was not for the blessing of my Lord, I would have been taken to hell, just like you are in hell. Subhanallah. This is not enjoying someone else's pain. This is thanking Allah that Allah saved us from that pain. Number one. Number two, it shows the absolute critical importance of having people around us that support us in our practice of our faith. It is so critical. I cannot emphasize this enough. If you are around people, if the influence that you have around you is an influence of people who are constantly doubting the tenets of the faith, not have some questions about the peripheries of the faith, but the core tenets of it, constantly, repeatedly, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, you will end up having those same type of doubts as well. And you will end up eventually either leaving the faith or at least the practice of the faith will be severely compromised. This is a real thing. I have seen this with my own eyes. It happens. And the Quran is mentioning this story for a reason. That this is something, this is, remember the theme of the surah is the threat of Allah, like his promises will be fulfilled. This is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing a glimpse from the next life, saying this is a threat to you. Don't let this threat materialize. Where you're constantly surrounded by doubts and people who are questioning and disbelieving and being openly, overtly or covertly, you know, adverse to faith, this will lead you down this path. Don't let it lead you down that path. So it's a very, very clear and beautiful message from the Quran to be very careful of who our friends are and who our influences are. Not just friends, who influences you. Because you can have friends who, you know, don't believe, and, you know, that's okay. But who influences your thought process? What media do you consume? Who do you read? That all, what's forming your worldview, that is where you have to be very careful. Now Allah will say the following statement a lot. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsinin. This is how we reward the righteous. This is how we reward the righteous. He will start by Nuh alayhi salam. And again, the idea here is how the prophets faced rejection, mockery, and how Allah then executed his threat. And that is historical precedence for us to take heed for our present and our future. Nuh alayhi salam, Allah mentions, we invited, or Noah cried out to us, and we responded with an excellent response, saving him from great distress. Okay, then Allah says that inna kadhalik salamun ala Nuhin fil alamin, peace be upon Noah among all people. This is how we reward the righteous people. Then he mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned min shi'atihi, from the same faith, because the prophets of Allah all have the same faith. This is a beautiful description. إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. He came to his Lord with a sound heart, a heart looking for his master, a soul looking for the purpose of its life. And when he was in that state, he's trying to call others to that state. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَمَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ. He said to his father, what are you guys worshipping? They said, well, are you worshipping these false deities besides Allah? And what do you think of the Lord of the worlds? Like, how is this going to compare to Allah? He looked up at the stars and said, فَإِنِّي سَقِيم. فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيم. I am sick. He stays back. He looked at the stars, and the idea is that he knew that they are going to head out to their customary festival that is outside of the city. And then he said, I'm sick, I'm not going to join you. They left him alone and went off their ways. Then he went to the idols that they had, and he said to them, do you not eat? What is it with you that you don't speak? فراغ عليهم ضربا باليمين. He struck them down. And when they came back, they you know, interrogated him, said, how is it? Why did you do this? He said, أَتَعْبُدُونَ مَا تَنْحِتُونَ. How can you worship things that you make with your own hands? اللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. When it is God who has created you and all your handiwork. Allah is the one who created you and creates the actions that you do. How is it that you take your action and then what you have made from your actions, you start worshipping it? How does that make any sense? اللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. There is no response to that. They said, let's burn him. أَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. فَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا. They wanted to harm him, but then we made them the lowest of the low, humiliated them entirely. He was saved, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He goes and he says to Allah, my Lord, grant me a righteous son. So Allah says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. We gave him the good news of a righteous son, Ismail. Okay, not mentioned here by name, but the reference here is, of course, to Ismail. Now, when he became, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي, when he reached the age when he could work with him, he's like, you know, in his teens, early teens, or maybe he's, you know, like he's 13 years old, he's 12 years old. At that age, قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ, Ibrahim al-Sam says, oh, my son, I have seen in a dream that I am sacrificing you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Tell me what you think of it. This is so amazing. He is the Prophet of Allah. He is telling his son, I see in al-manam. This is actually not a good translation, a dream. Al-manam is the dream. Al-manam, the dream. Because Ibrahim al-Islam is saying, I know this is not just like a nightmare. This is a revelation from Allah. This is the dream that I know is from Allah. I see in that dream that Allah has commanded me to sacrifice you. What's your opinion? What's your take? It's amazing because he is the Prophet of Allah, and he is conveying to his son the command of Allah, which is that this is what we're supposed to do. And yet he's asking his son, hey, what do you think about this? The idea is that he's honoring his son, and he's honoring his dignity and his intellect by asking him for his opinion, right? Because he is now of that age where he desires that validation. And that is what Ibrahim alayhi salam demonstrates. And that's something perhaps for all of us who have young kids or kids who are growing in that age to respect the intelligence, not insult the intelligence. That's something we can learn from our father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, oh, my father, do as you're commanded, and you'll find me to be patient. Of course, when they had both submitted and he laid his son down on his face, he called out, oh, Abraham, you have fulfilled the dream. It is it is in thus indeed that we will reward those who do good. This was a great trial, and then we ransomed him with a great sacrifice, and that's Eid al-Adha. And we left him to be succeeded by a group of followers among later generations, and peace and salutation be upon Abraham. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And this is how we take care of, or how we reward the righteous. Okay, and he is from our faithful servants. Look at something here. Righteous. This is how we reward the righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَلِكَ إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. How we reward the righteous. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. How we reward the righteous. Twice for Ibrahim. But for Nuh, he said it once. For Musa and Harun, Moses and Aaron, Allah says it. He says it once. This is how we reward those who do good. For Ilyas, another prophet, Elijah, Allah says about him, Inna kadhalika nadzil muhsinin. Thus we reward those who do good. Likewise for Lut. All of this is to show something very interesting. Everybody that's mentioned afterwards, Allah says about them, this is how we reward the righteous, and he says it once. But his close, his Khalil, his beloved prophet, Ibrahim, Allah says about him twice. And that is, wallahu alam, because he is mentioned with one of the two very difficult trials. The trial of his family kicking him out, and then his people burning him, or trying to burn him and execute him. And then his own family, his own son, him having to sacrifice him. So as Allah mentions his sacrifices, he also gives him double the praise. Right? And that's the idea, that when we go through difficulties, with that comes ease. When we go through difficulties, with that comes us being raised in paradise to a level where others can't reach, who didn't suffer, who didn't go through difficulties. That is what Allah is highlighting with a subtle expression, Inna kadhalika nazil muhsinin. Also, who is mentioned is Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam is mentioned, Jonah, who was one of the messengers. إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. He fled to the overloaded ship. A very interesting word, أَبَقَ, the only place in the Quran where this word أَبَقَ is used. And أَبَقَ is used to describe a slave, that's a runaway slave. A slave that shouldn't have run away, but ran away and is guilty of running away. And that is what Allah is using to describe Yunus alayhi salam here, because he ran away when he shouldn't have run away. Subhanallah. فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ. They cast lots, and he was the one who lost. Then he was tossed overboard and swallowed by a fish. And he was alive in the belly of the fish, remain in that state. You know, it is actually possible there are pockets of places in a large fish's belly where living creatures could survive in the ocean. If there isn't acidity there enough at that point, it takes a while for it to get there. So it is scientifically possible for that to happen, and it 100% did happen. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ لَيَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. He was then spit out by the fish. وَهُوَ سَقِيمٌ. But he was sick, because of course he had just come through a you know, he was in the depths of the ocean, the pressure, being swallowed by the fish, hungry in the environment that's not very, you know, hygienic in any way. But Allah then gave him relief and healing by the tree, gourd tree, shajratin min yaqtin, and then he was sent back to his people. Mi'ati alfin aw yazidun, 100,000 people. But they, and when he reached to them, they had all believed. فَأَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ So we let them live for a while in ease. The idea here is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's threats are fulfilled. Yunus alayhi salam actually was the exception to the historical rule. And that was something that Allah highlights as he's highlighting all of his threats. And more details of Yunus alayhi salam were mentioned here in this Quran, in this passage of Quran, and were not mentioned in other parts of the Quran. The conclusion of this surah is that وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الصَّافُونَ We are those who stand ranged in ranks. Allah is going to arrange people in ranks, and He will then ask the people, what have they done? People will make the excuses. They will say, if we only had a book like the people before, we would also be righteous. But that's an excuse, that's a lie. فَكَفَرُوا بِهِ They have rejected it. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ They will know soon what is going to happen. The surah ends with a very beautiful passage. وَأَبْصِرْ فَسَوْفَ يُبْصِرُونَ Be patient, watch, for soon they will see. Glory be to your Lord, the Lord of the of glory. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ The Lord of power and might, above what they attribute to Him. And peace be upon the messengers, and praise be for Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We'll kind of talk about Surah Sa'd as well briefly. Surah Sa'd actually is pretty straightforward to talk about, so we'll take a few minutes to discuss that. Surah Sa'd, one of the theme that we want to highlight about Surah Sa'd here is a very interesting theme, which is everyone makes mistakes. And Allah is highlighting in this surah the mistakes that some of His righteous, chosen servants made. His prophets. Some of His prophets made some errors, some slip-ups. And in this surah, Allah highlights those, but in a very beautiful way. He highlights it in a way that you don't even realize that Allah is highlighting a mistake that is like He's being critical. Rather, He's highlighting it in a way that is constructive, to help them get better, to help them learn a lesson, to help us learn a lesson. And that is the way when criticism is given, it should be given with love and kindness. It should be given with the intent of helping the person who is receiving it change for the better. It should not be given as an insult. Unfortunately, sometimes we all do that. But the Quran teaches us that we are to learn a lesson from mistakes. And the way you explain someone's mistakes to them tells is either going to help them learn from their mistakes, or it's going to push them away further and make them more stubborn. So here Allah is going to highlight actually some mistakes that some prophets made. He's going to highlight the mistake of Dawud al-Islam. By the way, this surah begins with the letter Sad. And then the Quran full of reminder. This is surah, the Quran is full of reminder of all types. This is a beautiful reminder that Allah will present here to us. It talks about how the people of Quraysh actually, like introduction of the surah talks about how they would say things like, this is a magician, a great liar. He's got to make all the idols into one god. That's a really strange way of worshiping. That's a really strange religion. And you know, they used to say to each other, don't worry. This is, inna hadha la shay'un yurad. This is like a, it's like a fad. It'll blow away. Just relax. Stay patient. Allah says to as a response to that, look, and their questioning was that, why is this person chosen to be the prophet? Allah's response was that, like, it's Allah's choice, right? The treasures of the mercy of Allah is in Allah's hands. The kingdom of the sky and the earth is in Allah's hands. He gives whoever He wants. He chooses for prophethood whoever He wants. And He chose the Prophet ﷺ. And then He reminds the Prophet that, look, people before rejected. And that is something that is the that's something that's not unexpected. The people of Noah, the people of Ad, the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh of the stakes, Dhul Awtad, Thamud, the people of Lot, Ashabul Aika, the developers of the wood, the worshippers of the trees, Ulaika al-ahzab, these people, in kullun illa kadhaba ar-rusul, all of them said that their messengers were liars. Fahaqqa iqab, so my punishment rightly overtook them. Mentions Dawud alayhi salam. Okay, he mentions Dawud alayhi salam. Wazkur abdana Dawud al-aid innahu awwab. Look at Allah. While mentioning them, he's going to mention a mistake that Dawud is going to make. But look at how he introduces Dawud. He doesn't say, oh, Dawud, the one who made the mistake. He says, Dawud, our servant. Abdana Dawud. A man of strength. Dhal aid. Who, innahu awab, always turned to us. And that is the quality that defines a believer. That's what makes a great person, a great human being, and a great believer. Someone who is always able to rectify their mistakes. Someone's able to accept their mistakes, accept that something was wrong and fix it. The one who is stubborn and says, no, I wasn't wrong in the first place, and would justify their actions in every way that they could, that is actually not a praiseworthy person. That's a stubborn person. That's maybe a person who's delusional, full of arrogance. The one who is humble, able to understand and recognize their mistakes, able to fix themselves, that is a praiseworthy person. That is what Islam wants us to become. Innahu awab, people who turn to us. What is it that happened with Dawud? Dawud alayhi salam, Allah mentions, by the way, before his mistake, all the beautiful things that he had. Then he says he had the ability, he had wisdom, and he had the ability to speak, you know, eloquently. But then he made a mistake when there were two people who came. Naba'ul khasm. Two people who came to dispute with Dawud alayhi salam about something. They entered upon David. He was a little frightened how they entered upon him. They said, don't worry, we are two people disputing about something. So why don't you, can you please judge between us? What is it that we're disputing about? This brother of mine has 99 ewes and I have only one. إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِيلَهُ تِسْعُونَ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَةً وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةً. Okay, so then he said, give this one to me. And let me have charge of it. Okay. Now, Dawud alayhi salam didn't hear the other side of the story. He said immediately he rushed to judgment. He said he certainly wronged you by demanding that your ewe will be added to his ewes. And thus many partners wrong one another, all save those who believe in God and do righteous deeds. But how few they are. This was actually not two humans. These were two angels that Allah had sent to Dawud alayhi salam to teach him a lesson. So as he had said this, they disappeared. And that is when Dawud realized, oh, something happened here. This is, فَوَظَنَّ دَاوُدُ أَنَّ مَا فَتَنَّهُ. He realized that we were putting him to the test. فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ. So he asked his Lord to forgive his sins. وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا وَأَنَابُ. He fell to his knees and turned into repentance. Allah says, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. We forgave his sins. The moment you ask for forgiveness and you're sincere, Allah will forgive your sins. That's a guarantee. Guaranteed. That is like a done deal. فَاسْتَغْفَرَ رَبَّهُ. Seeking forgiveness, saying sorry. وَخَرَّ رَاكِعًا. Fell into ruku' and make up for the mistake. Immediately the sin is forgiven. It is غَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. We forgave him his sins. We have to believe this with certainty. That's what Allah and His mercy is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then addresses Dawud, that David, we have given you mastery over the land. Judge fairly between people. Do not follow your desires. Meaning, listen to both sides of the story before you give a judgment. Don't let your bias let you divert you from the path of God. So that's a very beautiful lesson, and a very beautiful thing that Allah teaches, how He first mentions all the good qualities, amazing things about Dawud alayhi salam, and then mentions the slip up he had, and then the lesson that he learned, and how beautifully he accepted his error. And that's an amazing way of Allah explaining a mistake of a prophet. And that's kind of like a template for us when it comes to providing constructive criticism. Also, he mentions Solomon. He had a mistake. His mistake was he forgot about praying. He got distracted by his horses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually did something that we don't actually condone in our Sharia, which is that he actually slaughtered his horses. And that's something we don't accept that. Like if you forgot about a blessing of Allah or forgot about prayer because of something you were occupied in, doesn't mean you burn it down. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very gently, very subtly mentions his mistake in words that are ambiguous by design. فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. He began to stroke their legs and necks, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hiding his flaws here. And that's a beautiful way of giving criticism, particularly when everybody else is listening. You don't have to expose a person and, you know, shame them. You have to discuss the problem without letting it become where it is shaming the person who had that problem in the first place. It's a very beautiful approach. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions how Suleiman accepted his mistake and repented. He said, "My Lord, forgive me. I accept my mistakes. I made mistakes." And then he made dua that, "Oh Allah, give me a power, give me a kingdom that nobody like me, like no one has ever had." So Allah gave him that kind of kingdom. And that was Allah's عطاؤنا فامننا وامسك بغير حساب. And he is with us in nearness and a good place. He mentions also Ayyub's mistake. Ayah number 41. Ayyub alayhi salam was sick for so long, paralyzed, lost his family, lost his wealth, lost his health. Yet he was patient in the face of all that. But as a sick person is emotional. A sick person sometimes will say things that they will regret later. And he said to his wife once that, "I will lash you 100 lashes once I'm cured." And this was out of anger for something she said that was actually a type or could have been misconstrued as, or that could have led to shirk. So he was right to get upset, but then he was not right to say what he had said. And that's how, what happens when people are sick. We have to understand that. Sick people will say things that, you know, because they're suffering, right? So we all have to be gentle with those who are, you know, going through difficulties as sickness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, "Urqud bi rijlik," stamp your foot. "Here is cool water for you to wash in and drink." That fully restored him miraculously, and his family was restored to him. And then his oath that he had taken, Allah said, "Fulfill your oath. Take a handful of twigs, 100 twigs, and touch that with your touch your wife with them." وَلَا تَحْنِثْ. Don't break your oath. Your word is important. Don't just break it. But also don't harm somebody because you've done something or taken an oath that is irrational. Allah says, though, إِنَّا وَجَدْنَاهُ صَابِرًا. Like, you know, one mistake doesn't define him. He was steadfast. He was patient. He was patient for years. نِعْمَ الْعَبْدُ. How amazing of a person he was. إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. Always turning back to Allah, accepting his mistakes. So such a beautiful surah that highlights mistakes are made by people. But it's how you learn from the mistake, how you fix the mistake, and also how you talk about the mistake when you're addressing or providing criticism constructively to somebody else. But not everybody's mistakes are the same. The surah concludes with the mention of Iblis. When he was told to make sajda, he says what? He says, "Ana khayrun minhu." I am better than him. You created me from fire, but you created him from clay. And this is not a mistake. This is arrogance. This is thinking you know better than God. This is saying that God made a mistake. God was not judging correctly, and you were. And that is not just a slip up. That is a person who is has the attitude of the devil. So we're warned. We're going to make mistakes. If you're going to make it like the prophets of Allah. Learn from them. Don't be like Iblis, where you become stubborn and obstinate. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to understand the Quran and Sunnah and to implement in our lives. Jazakum khair, everybody, for sticking around till the end. Tomorrow we'll cover Surah Zumar. Because Surah Zumar actually starts in the Juz and concludes in the next. So we'll talk about it in the next Juz in more detail. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.